Greg Pope, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Goggin Cold Hawk, coldest team in town. Pat and Cook running things right here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios, Florida, down in the swamp, Tennessee. It actually opened up like a 21.5 favorite for Florida. It's down to 19 right now. Some money coming in on the Tennessee side. We're joined now by Ryan Callahan at Ryan Callahan 24/7. Go Vols 24/7 on the F&M Bank phone line. Ryan, good morning. How you doing, man?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Do we need to just start with quarterback? Is that the everything? Everything we've ever talked about for 6 months? Now, Hendon Hooker, I guess, right?
Well, we don't know for sure, obviously, but yeah, I think a lot of the signs that we do have, and none of these are from Josh Heupel, who continues to do a very good job of saying a lot of things that don't actually mean anything when he's asked questions about starting quarterbacks and injuries. So he hasn't tipped his hand, and we haven't seen a minute of practice ourselves to be able to say for sure, but everything we hear continues to suggest that Hendon Hooker has gotten more work with the first team offense this week and looks like he might make the most sense as the starter tomorrow. So we will see. Now, that said, a week ago, I would have said, you know, I think the staff maybe goes back to Joe Milton, but Hooker has played pretty well in a couple games, and this might be a health thing. At least that's part of the equation, I think, because we saw Joe Milton on campus this week walking around, and I don't think he's 100%. I know some people have been kind of skeptical of that and wondering if the injury was just a kind of an excuse for Tennessee to get to see what Hendon Hooker could do last week. I don't think that's the case. I think there's a legit injury there, and he's we're not sure his status, but I think that's at least part of the decision here. So we'll see tomorrow. We'll find out for sure, but certainly right now, if I had to guess, I would lean toward Hooker being the starter.
All right, Ryan, let's say hypothetically that Milton is healthy and he's just, you know, Heupel wants to go with Hooker. That's not going to sit well with Milton. He didn't come here from Michigan to, you know, play number two to anybody. What do you think, what kind of effect could this have, you know, short-term and long-term with this team, you think?
The same can be said for Hooker, right?
I understand that. But, you know, from Milton's thing, I won the job in fall camp. It's my job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. At the same time, you know, it sounds like he's been beating himself up pretty good about some of the missed throws he's had, and I think he knows the reality is he's going to get another chance. I feel pretty confident saying that. I think he's going to get a chance to play again at some point. Maybe Hendon Hooker, if he does get the start tomorrow, takes this and runs with it. But I think the reality is Tennessee is not moving on from Joe Milton no matter what happens tomorrow. So I think he knows he's going to play more. But regardless, yeah, I think he knows he's got to play better whenever he is out there again. And that's just the bottom line. You know, this is where things start to get more significant for Tennessee. It's the start of SEC play. Everything matters just a bit more, and they've already lost a game. So any one of these games coming up could really swing Tennessee's season in a way. So they can't take anything for granted and say, hey, it's our first year. We're playing with house money. Can't approach it that way in the SEC. You just can't. We've seen guys get set back by first-year losses. They've got to take these games like they matter because they do. And you know, at the same time, though, I do think this is at least partially injury-related. So I think this is going to be tough to assess until we see Joe Milton out there again and know that he's healthy. I think it's going to be tough to say what this would do. But yeah, sure, if Joe Milton gets benched for performance reasons, he's not going to be happy about that because he came to Tennessee to play, no doubt about it.
Ryan Callahan 24/7. Ryan, I guess the FCS opponent leading into this game helped some folks heal up. Cooper Mays looks like he'll be back. Jabari Small, Latrell Bumpus, looks like the team got a little healthy with the luxury of having that game in front of this one.
Yeah, they did with that game what I thought they should do, which is not play anybody who was on the fence with an injury situation that was where they were at least banged up. Tennessee Tech was struggling so much that there just wasn't a reason to really push anybody. You treat it like an open date for those players, and if you can't beat Tennessee Tech with your 60 plus healthy scholarship players or whatever the number was, or 70 plus, then you don't deserve to win. So they took care of business and were able to get those guys some rest, and obviously that included Joe Milton. And so yeah, that was positive, and they got to develop some depth in that game a little bit too, just playing some younger guys who had not gotten in before, some backups who had not played as much the first two games, because they didn't blow out Bowling Green the way they needed to. They didn't get a lot of playing time for some of those reserves until the fourth quarter. So that game was valuable for a couple reasons, but yeah, maybe that was the most significant, is just getting a chance to rest some guys who weren't quite healthy. And now, as you said, we do expect Cooper Mays to start at center tomorrow, which I think is a big deal, because that allows you to move Jerome Carvin back to what's his more natural position at guard. And maybe that makes Tennessee's offensive line just better overall, because they've obviously struggled a bit the last couple games, and they're going to have to play really well tomorrow against Florida for Tennessee to have a chance.
Ryan, what about Florida? Obviously, they gave Alabama all they could handle last week, really played well, definitely could have, maybe should have won that game. A lot of people are saying, well, there might be a letdown because they're still thinking about what happened last week against Alabama. I don't know. You've been following this rivalry for a long time. I don't see that happening for Florida, right? Knowing Tennessee's coming into the swamp.
Well, I don't. I think Florida will probably be ready to play. But we've seen now both teams in this rivalry as favorites kind of play down to the competition at times. So that can happen. I wouldn't rule that out. I will say this, though. If I'm Tennessee, I'm excited to be playing Florida coming off a game against Alabama, because I think there's something to a team being worn down from playing Alabama over the years. We've seen that effect. I think, you know, just playing a team that's that talented, that big, that physical, does kind of wear out a team. And so maybe you get Florida not playing their best based on that, if nothing else. But as far as the emotional hangover, anything like that, I doubt that's a huge factor. Playing a night game at the Swamp probably helps Florida get back into it, too. That's always a fun environment, especially at night. So I don't think so. But, this is a game Florida's heavily favored, as you mentioned earlier, for a reason. You know, there's obviously been a big reaction to the way they played against Alabama, but even without that, Florida was going to be a double-digit favorite. So it's still a situation where everything is all the pressure is on Tennessee to show they can hang with Florida. And Florida, you know, they showed last week they can present a lot of problems. That running game is going to be tough for Tennessee to stop for sure. And you know, Tennessee's got they've had some encouraging signs, I guess, defensively through the first three games. Certainly last week against a bad team, they had a good performance. But you know, this week we'll find out a lot more about Tennessee's defense, starting with can they stop that running game that was so effective last week against Alabama.
You know, you look at both fronts on both sides. I don't know that Florida's that much overwhelmingly better. Quite frankly, I could see this one be a lower scoring game. I think Tennessee could hang in this one. I really do, and for the reasons you just said. Although, but you know, by 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, that place, the fans will be all earled up and you know, ready to roll, and especially with Tennessee and national TV. But something tells me I think Tennessee's going to hang in this one.
I kind of get that feeling too. We'll have our picks here in a little while on GoVols 24/7. My score is it. I'm definitely going to have Tennessee covering in this game. I don't know that I'm going to predict a close game, but I do think it's a game where Tennessee can at least hang around for a while and maybe make things at least a little more interesting than people might have expected. I don't envision a blowout, but with that said, three straight years Florida's won this game by double digits. Last year was 12. It was a little more respectable last year, even against a pretty good Florida team last year. So we'll see if that is any comparison to this game. But I'm with you. I do think Florida's offense is not, you know, not at the level where they're just going to go out there and score every time, most likely. And then and Tennessee's offense, let's face it, I've come away from all three games saying, you know, they're not playing that well offensively. They've not really had a game yet where I just said, man, that offense is clicking on all cylinders. But they've scored over 30 points in every game, and that's to their credit. Maybe this is how this new system under Josh Heupel is going to work a lot of times. You know, where maybe things are not executed perfectly all the time, but they're just going to find a way to get their 30-plus points a lot. And if that, not to say they'll score 30 against Florida, but if it's even 27 or something like that, they'll probably be in this game.
Tuesday, all of the SEC set schedules were released for 2022, and UT, Army off, add Akron with that. I know there was a buyout involved with it and yada, yada, yada. This game been scheduled for, what, 5 years under former AD Hart. I like the fact that they were going to be playing Army, but then again, you know, you look. But the stretch that I look at, Florida at home, bye week, at LSU, and then at Alabama. They hadn't played in Baton Rouge in 12 years, which surprised me. So your thoughts on the schedule that came out?
Yeah, so it's they make a big production of it. We knew it was their turn to play LSU again in the rotation, but it's always interesting to see the order of things. You know, that stretch is obviously what's going to stand out to most people right there in the middle of the schedule, even with an open date between the Florida and LSU games. That's a tough, tough stretch, obviously, where you kind of get to ease into things. They play Pittsburgh again next year on the road, so you've got some early non-conference games to get your feet on the ground, and then it's right into the teeth of that SEC schedule with Florida, LSU, and Alabama. So that will be tough. I kind of like the South Carolina game moving to November. That's that'll be a different look for Tennessee, having Georgia and South Carolina in November, some important division games, obviously. Georgia moved to November this year, and then South Carolina, I think that's going to be the latest that game's ever been played since South Carolina joined the SEC. So that certainly looked different. And then, yeah, obviously buying out Army, that maybe caught some people by surprise. I think it's a smart move. Jeremy Pruitt was the one who kind of got the wheels moving on that, because he was not a proponent of having to prepare for that style of team, and essentially spend a lot of time preparing for a unique system that can only cause trouble and maybe lead to an upset. It's just a dangerous game to play in the middle of an SEC schedule, and I can't really fault Tennessee for wanting out of that when not every team wants to play Army, and Jeremy Pruitt was never a big proponent of playing that game, and John Heupel might have felt the same way. So I think it's a smart move on Tennessee's part. Akron fits in much better with what they're normally going to see from week to week, and as you can obviously tell, the rest of their schedule is tough enough. They don't need the extra headache probably of playing Army and risking an upset with that type of system.
Yeah, those teams are always tough to play. You can prepare for them, those option offenses, and those you know, the way they run their offense. You prepare for it, but until you get on the field and see it, it's a lot different story. You know what I mean? So
and cut blocks, and yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that you might not come out of it totally healthy. It's like playing Georgia Tech under Paul Johnson years ago, and asked Tennessee about that one too in 2017. Spend the whole offseason preparing for that stuff, and it's a lot of time you could spend doing something else instead of having to worry about the option.
Yeah, you dump Army. I'm just curious about the patriotism up there. But anyway. Walter Nolan, I guess I'm going to have to ask you about him every week, too. The five-star, and, you know, we've talked about him being at Powell right there. You know, a quick drive from campus, and with Rodney Garner's the ace in the hole, isn't he? Because he will be relentless in a very good way. I mean, that's why he's one of the best recruiters in SEC history, quite frankly, certainly the past 25 years. But, back before Bear Bryant could sign 140 players. Tennessee still very much in the hunt for maybe the best player in the country.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to change. I think especially now that he's in Tennessee's backyard, you know, he hasn't even been on an official or unofficial visit to Tennessee since moving up here. I think this is all going to keep Tennessee in it until the end. And they've put themselves in good enough position, frankly, that aside from all that, I think Tennessee would be in it till the end. But at the same time, you know, he's reminded everyone the past 2 weeks of why his recruitment is going to be a thrill a minute all the way to the finish line, because he named the top three last month of Tennessee, Georgia, and Texas A&M. And where did he go the last 2 weeks? Michigan on the 11th to see the Michigan-Washington game. And last week he's at Florida for the Florida-Alabama game. So he's still looking at more than three schools. That's the reality. He's still going to continue doing that. And, even though he's hinted at times that he could be getting close to a decision, that hasn't happened to this point. So I think he's going to keep this thing open. Even if he ever did announce a decision before early signing day, he's probably going to keep looking around to the point that no one's going to rest easily, even the team he commits to. So it's going to go all the way to the end, but I do think Tennessee is going to be very much in that one till the end. And you'd still have to say they have as good a shot as anybody. Rodney Garner really has, as you said, done a good job with that one. And I think, again, having him in Tennessee's backyard is going to work in Tennessee's favor because he'll probably end up going to a couple of Tennessee games this season.
You know, I'm surprised when he announced those three top schools, everybody didn't quit recruiting him. Ryan Callahan, 24/7. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, guys.
See you, Ryan.
You know, big games week 3.